Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. No one's live.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Talk podcast. I'm Mr. Davis. I wake up, honestly, every Thursday morning so excited to talk about AEW. And I'm joined by Lukewarm Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. Mr. Davis, how the devil are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I got my fix of AEW. But shortly before this podcast, I ate a macro munch, which is like this. It's like a millionaire.
You're going to have to go a little bit further. You can't just say macro munch as if that's a normal thing.
They were something that I was addicted to about 2 years ago. This little chocolatey treat, macro munch, full of protein. It's like a really gourmet protein bar. And I thought, I'm being healthy. Let's kick off this year the right way with all the good food, and let's make it tasty, because that's where I've failed in the past. I've just gone for healthy food, and that gets so goddamn boring after several days. So I'm having more tasty things in, little treats, and it's not as good as I remember it.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no, man.
I feel a little bit saddened by it. I think I put too much on the millionaire shortbread cake, the macro munch.
How do you mean you put a little bit too much on it?
I just had too much hope.
Right, sorry. I thought you meant like you were putting extras on it, like hundreds and thousands or something.
Hot sauce. No.
Exactly.
No. You ever get that, guys? When you put too much hope on a chocolate bar?
Dude, I literally had it last night. So I'm just there finishing up work last night, and my wife rat-a-tat-tats on the door, walks into the office and just looks at me and just goes, I want pizza.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, what, like takeaway pizza? And she's like, yeah, but I've looked. And Meredith and I, we've moved out to the country now. So we've got to get used to the non-London lifestyle. Like in London, you know, oh, okay, so where we are now, there are 7 takeaways that will deliver to us. In total, there are 7 places, and 2 of them are the same company. They're a pizza brand. When we were living in London, there were 7 different pizza restaurants. There were like 7 different Afghan restaurants that were delivered to you, right?
You've gone from Netflix back to Blockbuster. Blockbuster. It's like the section in my old off license that had a little rotating rack of about 8 video cassettes.
That's exactly it. One of them is always the wizard. So that's what we've gone back to, right? So I then did a little Google. And like the problem with the pizza place that is they don't do gluten-free bases. And my wife is gluten intolerant.
Oh,
so
you can't have dietary requirements out in the sticks.
I know, right? She's a gluten-free vegan as well. Oh, Charles Ball's worst nightmare.
You'd be laughed out of Kent.
But you know what, though? Our local pub, when it opens, which is the oldest pub in Kent, does gluten-free pizzas. Vegan pizzas as well. So there is a place, but they aren't doing deliveries at the moment. They're only doing deliveries on their meat-based takeaways.
Oldest pub in Kent challenge. I was born and raised in Kent.
I said that so confidently, and I don't. It is the oldest in something. Maybe it's the oldest in this town.
The pub that I was thrown out of after finishing my GCSEs because I was so underage was a 12th century pub at the bottom of the school street in Dartford. So we went down to the Plough, which would serve you.
The oldest pubs in Kent, where they are now, from last year.
It's not going to change. Surely last year's one will be...
It's not
old in Westbeer. I don't even know where that is. 1348. It's in. My Dartford pub is older than that.
It's the oldest pub in something. It's been in here since the 17th century. It's the only pub in the village. Continues to play an important role in the local community, support sponsoring darts and football teams and local charities. Anywho, so that's that's not the point of my story. Point of my story is I then looked at the big chains. I looked at the Domino's. They wouldn't deliver. I could go and do a collection.
Oh, Domino's.
They won't deliver to us. So I was like, well, I could go and do a collection, but they're not doing gluten-free bases, right? But Pizza Hut are. Mm. So Pizza Hut are doing, then they won't deliver, but they will do collection and they will do a gluten-free base. And with vegan cheese. So that's grand. Grand old time, right? So I say to my wife, it's fine. We'll get it from Pizza. I'll just go and drive and collect it. It's not that far away. It is the next town over, but it's not too bad, right?
Well, you're not allowed to drive to the next town.
Well, it's... but it's within,
you'll get arrested.
We're all tier four. And I have to. I don't have a supermarket here. I have to go to the next town to go to a supermarket. So we're all in tier four. So that, like, Kent is considered as one thing, despite the fact that it's pretty much the entire southeast of England. It is just that one area and it's all considered the same thing. So I jump in the car, I drive. It's a 20-minute drive to collect it.
Just one way?
Yeah. 10 minutes into the journey, I get the text to say, it's ready. So... oh. 10 minutes more, I get there and I pick it up. Then it sits in my car and I drive back another 20 minutes. So by this point, it has been out of the oven for half an hour. So I like rush through the door and I hand it to my wife. She's like, do you want a plate? I was like, there's no time for plate. Just sit down.
Shove it in her mouth.
And while it was good, I'm not going to say it was bad. I did enjoy myself. It's not a steaming hot pizza. It's not like a pizza that's just come fresh out the oven because it's been out the oven for half an hour. But it's not hot either.
How did your lovely wife feel about that?
She was up to, you know what? She would just wanted pizza so bad. I think she was fine with it, but I was super excited. Mm-hmm. And I, you know me, I love a classic Marg. Love a classic Marg pizza. Why complicate things? And it didn't quite live up to the hope that I wanted it.
You know I love pizza. This hurts me. I can really empathize with you. There's nothing worse than a disappointing pizza.
And I knew you would. That's why I wanted to tell you this story in particular, because I knew you would be disappointed on my behalf.
I read something. You know, like, there's a lot of pizza debates. Should you put pineapple on? Stuffed crust? Margarita pizza? I'm like, c'est la vie. Do what you want with the pizza. I don't mind if Samoa Joe wants. I'm pretty sure Samoa Joe said he loves pineapple and ham pizza. I'm a stuffed crust guy. We're both margarita guys. I fold, but I have no ill will against you if you want to use a knife and fork, if you're a posh pizza eater. Cold out the fridge the next day. Heated up. Old. I don't mind that either. I finally found something that I disagreed with pizza etiquette-wise.
Is it ranch dressing?
Someone had asked on Reddit, my husband, that they've been with for ages, but she's only just seen him do this. And apparently he's done it forever, but she's already married to him. And it's not enough for the grounds for divorce. They got a takeaway pizza, piping hot, just like he wanted. A little too hot for her husband. He ran it under a cold tap.
What? What are you even saying? What do you mean? Do you mean he runs it under a cold tap?
He ran it under a cold tap. Well, shook
like
it off.
Finger, and like he's, oh, you got to run that under a cold tap quickly.
Yeah. And it was a slice of pizza. Apparently, if you do it at the right flow, it's not going to take any of the toppings with it. To cool it down, that's why. I mean, it's obvious. I just don't like what. I wouldn't do it.
They're just wet.
Like, wet anyway, like the pizzas I get.
You've created a different problem, though. You've created a different problem.
Yeah, out of the frying pan and into the fire.
Yeah, no, sorry. I'm not on board for that, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I thought that was disgusting. I thought I'd seen it all when it came to pizza. But just humanity finds new sickening ways to turn my stomach.
Well, let's have that as an open challenge. Email in support@wrestletalk.com. Do you have a worse take on pizza? Don't send us ranch dressing because Denise gets so much crap for that online. and it's perfectly fine for her to dip pizza in ranch dressing.
Yeah.
But before we do get into the main show, so do send in your emails about pizza. I did get this email, not an email, a message from John Wells on Twitter that just said, at this is Luke Owen, please don't recount any more dentist stories on the podcast in the future, as it's like nails down a chalkboard and makes me cringe and feel actually stick in my stomach. Feel better, though. Looking forward to the AEW podcast.
I would listen to your wheezy hole of a tooth story. Every day of the week over a man running a hot pizza under a cold tap. Oh!
And on that bombshell, here is the AEW review.
A coffin drop from the second rope to the outside onto the steel steps. A powerbomb after three consecutive powerbombs over the top rope onto the stage. Being lifted over Brian Cage's head in an overhead press position and then thrown over the top rope, sailing over the ring post through a collection of tables that really should have had the chairs removed before that spot was done. Darby Allin and Brian Cage main evented last night's episode of Dynamite with an absolutely terrific big man versus small man match for the TNT title. I'm Mr. Davis. I'm joined by Lukewarm Luke Owen. We are going to be reviewing AEW Dynamite right now. But first, let's talk about the main event of the show,
which was terrific. Hey, do you know what? Shout out AEW Bias in the chats or whatever it is the kids do these days. I bloody loved this episode of AEW. I bloody love Dynamite, mate. I just think it's the best weekly wrestling show. I just think it's terrific. And I thought that this main event was an awesome way to end off what was overall an awesome show. I just love this episode, mate.
And it's like the least best episode of the last 2 months.
I know. Yeah, I didn't see the episode where the Bullet Club reformed. I didn't see the one with Kenny Omega versus Rey Fénix. But I did see this one, which was like, didn't have those moments. But you know what? Hey, man, it was bloody brilliant. They won it. This main event between Brian Cage and Darby Allin this is a match that's been 9 months in the making.
Is it that long?
That's what they were saying on commentary. Yeah,
it's been 9 months. Yeah, from when Taz first approached Darby for him to be his trainer, but he went for Brian Cage instead.
I don't know if you saw. So the finish of this match, have you seen this thing from Reddit?
I've seen many things from Reddit. I saw a meme where a man wore a cat on his face to look like Batman.
Okay. Well, a few people said this to me from Reddit. The crucifix finish, the finish of this match was Darby Allin locking in the crucifix bomb from the second rope and then pinning Brian Cage after being absolutely battered and bruised throughout the entire thing, right? And a few people sent it to me on Reddit. So I'm going to read this verbatim. Great callback with the crucifix finish. The Daz-Tarby rivalry started when Darby tried to pin Cody with the crucifix and couldn't hold him, getting pinned himself. Afterwards, Taz interviewed Darby and was trying to tell him what he did wrong with the move, offering some coaching. Darby walked away saying he knew what he did wrong and he didn't need to hear it, which has pissed off Taz, and that put Darby in his crosshairs. Now he pins Taz's client, using a crucifix done correctly, showing Taz he did know what he did wrong and he did it right this time and picked up the win. Right,
like the levels of complexity and thought, and just what a beautiful, subtle way to wrap up this storyline that wasn't really shoved down your throat. I mean, if anything, I get, you know, there's nothing stopping Excalibur saying that. Maybe did and I missed it, but that's why I think we all love AEW here. Is because they do stuff like that. They put so much time and attention and care into their storylines. That stuff, this is, you know, this felt like a mini pay-per-view from the opening of the show, even though it's a TV episode. We're a month, a month gone from Winter Is Coming, which was their last sort of monthly TV pay-per-view. It feels like we're really getting those TV pay-per-views on a monthly basis now, apart from when you've got the actual pay-per-views.
Yeah, we're getting one in a couple of weeks. Beach break on like February 2nd. Being a classic time to go to the beach.
Yeah. Well, beach break is, yeah, that's another TV one. Then you've got Revolution at the end of February as well, remember? So it's a great way to keep feuds bubbling. You know, like, not every feud needs to culminate at a pay-per-view. And this is a perfect example of that. Darby versus Taz, and by proxy, Ricky Starks, Brian Cage, Willie Mack. Like, it's not Willie Mack.
Powerhouse Hobbs.
Powerhouse Hobbs. Will Hobbs.
I come from calling him Luke Hobbs all the time to now calling him Willie Mack.
I went, all right, it's not Luke. It's Will. And my mind went elsewhere. But you've had this entire storyline going all that time. And like so many other layers to it. Last week's segment was just a standard weigh-in, not a contract signing. But it was more filler than anything, but it did such a good job of illustrating how much bigger Brian Cage is than Darby. 100 pounds bigger. And Taz pointed this out, Darby's even got the belt on. So the 100-pound difference is even more. And in this match, at one point, to get the big guy down, to turn the momentum, Darby used that very belt to tie Brian Cage's ankles together.
Yeah. Oh, there were so many things in this match that I absolutely just loved. And I loved how Darby Allin's, you know, he's the underdog in this match. They were putting it over on commentary. JR was very hard on this, was just like, he has always been the underdog. He is getting, you know, he's the underdog in this fight. There was a line from Excalibur when he's like defending Darby Allin. And he said, Darby has been dealing with bullies his entire life. Taz, who was on commentary, just flatly responds, he's had his ass kicked by bullies his entire life. And he's getting his ass kicked again here by Brian Cage. But Darby, you know, he used his smarts. He used his speed, like particularly right at the start, you know, with the dives and everything until Cage caught him. So instead he switches up his tactics and is just like, well, cool. I'll just goad him into mistakes then. So
extreme form of rope-a-dope, if you ask me.
Dude, like, that's what he was doing. He was, every time Brian Cage hit him with a big move, he kicked out at one and then flipped him off, right? Gave him the finger, which just kept making Brian Cage mad. It was just, and so Brian Cage then lost his temper, and Taz was on commentary talking about like how he's got to keep his cool. He's on top here. He can't let his emotions get the better of him. And he did let the emotions get the better of him. He went and got the steel steps, and the steel steps ended up being his downfall. Mm. Because that's how Darby managed to make more of a comeback, hit the coffin drop onto those steps, and then hit the crucifix bomb. So Darby, I mean, I think commentary put this across. Maybe I just read into this, but I felt it was Darby was making Cage mad, like trying to piss him off, essentially, so he would make a mistake. And that would be his, because speed didn't work, tying his legs together didn't work, so I'm going to plan C.
I thought it was more just Darby can't be killed. You know, he's dead already. So he was doing these kickouts at one. That wasn't like a master bit of strategy for me. It was, you can't beat me. Like, I will keep kicking out until I am absolutely unconscious. And, you know, a kickout at one is effectively a near fall, but in this sort of context, I suppose. But yeah, because like what I loved about this match, and I loved it so much on a show with some great matches as well, and this stood out as something special. Alongside the Phoenix Omega match from last week, which is my other favorite TV match of the year so far, is this was such an old-fashioned, perfect big man, small man match. This is Brock Lesnar versus Rey Mysterio. You know, it's that kind where Brian Cage is just destroying Darby. Like some of those spots, I listed through them at the start of the show. I was yelping because you get this a lot with Darby. Like he takes things that I've never really seen done before. They're almost like indie style spots. He does stuff that no one else is doing right now.
He's got a bit of Spike Dudley about him. I saw someone say this on Twitter, so compared him. He's Spike Dudley with an Evanescence playlist.
Mm-hmm.
He just crumples when he takes bumps. The spot and the most Spike Dudley thing he did in this match was when Brian Cage had him above his head and just threw him like he was nothing. In like an ECW show, he would have been caught by a crowd and the crowd surfed around, right? You know, the classic Spike Dudley spot. But we don't have a crowd here, so, he just threw him through a table. Like, this table on the outside that just exploded into a billion pieces, Darby included. And, like, he comes and he's bleeding and everything. And it's like, that's spot one of this match. And it only as a escalated from there. I just thought it was so terrific.
So that spot actually came after, like, you know, this, we're talking first minute. Darby is doing this really going fast at the start, and he runs through the ropes to hit a dive. Brian Cage catches the dive midair. So Darby is parallel to the floor. Like, you know, he comes out horizontally. Brian Cage catches him there, holds him for a bit, deadlift picks him up into a suplex and suplexes him on the floor. And I thought, man, that's great. Little did I know that thrill would be topped several times over in the course of this match.
There was a moment, I wrote this in my notes, when I wrote Brian Cage suplexes Darby from the floor into the ring. No, that's not a typo, because what he did is he started the suplex on the floor, then he walked around the ring, walked up the steps onto the stage, and then just threw him into the ring. Like, it's just, it's incredible strength from Cage. But, like, it's, you know, Darby is involved in all that as well, because he's got to keep that core strength to keep his legs in the air. Cage is great, man. Like, Cage is so, so good. Like, I don't want to take anything away from him in this match. You know, he did come out the loser, but he didn't come out of this looking bad at all. He came out of this looking amazing. The same he did in the Moxley match as well. I just think that he is something really, really special.
Yeah, I think everyone came out looking really strong here. Because the nature of the finish, that it was kind of a technical one-upmanship, makes me think, but if Brian just got a few more power moves, which is his strength, he could win next time. And it's just like, I'm amazed that AEW or any wrestling promotion can make me believe in such a size difference so much. We'll talk about it again later with Marco Stunt fighting FTR. Like, they're booked in such a way where it comes off as realistic. And I'm not there like, but this is, you know, they wouldn't fight each other in boxing or the UFC. The weight classes are too different. I'm there on the edge of my seat, genuinely thinking, oh, if Darby can just do this, he can beat a guy over 100 pounds more than him. And yeah, that gives you the thing where at the end, it wasn't like, Brian Cage won't and shouldn't challenge for the TNT title for a while now. I think we're all like this is good, because I think the Team Taz staring at some combination of Cody, Darby and Sting has run its course, so now they can go on to something else, and I'm excited about that. But this,
oh, I don't think they're done yet.
You think they're going for it? Should we talk about the Sting thing then?
Yeah, I still think we're heading to a six man of Cody, Sting and Darby versus Team Taz.
Well, I'm sure they've got something up their sleeves then, but that was, you know, it's felt quite repetitive.
Completely. Yeah,
in recent weeks. Like, the only thing on Dynamite that really has. Ricky Starks tried to interfere, lights cut out, come back up, Sting hits Ricky Starks with the bat. So that was the first time Sting got physical, really, in all of this time. And then he stands with Darby victorious at the end. So he didn't interfere in the actual match, but he stopped someone else from interfering. But yeah, that you think that's going to build towards a trios.
I just feel like they're doing so much with Team Taz and Sting, and I don't think that the end of that story is just, well, Sting stopped Ricky Starks from interfering in a match. Like, I feel that they have got something up their sleeve, whether it is Cody and Darby versus Team Taz, or whether it's Darby and Sting versus members of Team Taz. But I just feel like a trios match makes the most sense of Cody, Sting, and Darby versus Powerhouse Hobbs, Cage, and Ricky Starks. And, you know, and you do that at Revolution. You have the big Sting in-ring return, his first match since the Seth Rollins one. Why else do you bring in Sting, I guess? Like, what else do you have him do? You can't just have him come down and, you know, make Snowfall and piss Taz off.
He's got to stare at people.
I know, but there's only so much you can do that. Like, me and Laurie said this on the episode that you weren't on, which is just that, yeah, Sting came out and he stared at someone, which is cool. Like, you know, it is cool, but you do want to use that, like, that sparingly, because if you do it every week, it becomes less special.
It shows how, like, the just collective attention span is shortened, because WCW did that for a year in the mid-90s. And it's been going, what, like, just over a month? We're like, oh, I'm bored. When's he going to hit someone with the bat?
Wrestle already.
I think there's a lot of trio stuff going on right now. I think that match could be really interesting in the first or second round of the trios tournament. So it comes about as a function of the promotion rather than a blood feud. But I'm sort of over this. But hey, let's see what happens, because, you know, AEW are very good at making me like stuff even when I think it's sort of dumb.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns. Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Do you like quizzes? Do you like wrestling? Do you like watching self-professed experts in their fields being exposed as dangerous frauds? Then you'll love Quizzlemania, brought to you by Parts Funknown, the team behind acclaimed wrestling RPG No Rolls Barred. Join us every week as four wrestling pundits pit their knowledge against each other in a cerebral wrangle for prizes, glory, and a bit of good old-fashioned escapism. Enjoy the videos live every Wednesday on Parts Funknown's YouTube channel, or subscribe right now to have them beam straight to your mobile device. Quizzlemania, it's the showcase of the Immorons.
Shall we see what everyone thinks on the Omega chats from North Carolina? I love that. It was us thinking he's gonna team with FTR.
I know, right? We're also there, but like, and I blame Nate for that. Like, I blame Nate. You were sending us messages being like, "This is 100% FTR references. Like, you guys are missing out on this. It's definitely FTR references." And we looked at it, was like, Nate, I think you're right. Absolutely, bang on the banana there.
Kenny doesn't just put things like that in. Every detail matters. And then Kenny says, oh no, that one doesn't matter. That's literally just a Michael Jordan reference. Oh, God damn it. I looked at the photo of Don Callis's uncle in your interview segment you did 4 months ago. Anyway, let's see what the Omega chats have to say. Get all of your Omega chats into wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them before the end of the show. Leon Kwashi says, that Cage and Darby match was everything that the Brock and Ricochet showdown should have been. Also, Conti versus Deeb was magnificent. Serena really proving her worth to the women's division. And look how far Conti has improved.
I had the exact same notes watching that match. She was great in that match. But, you know, Deeb was awesome as well. But yeah, Conti looked absolutely brilliant.
And yeah, on the Brock and Ricochet stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, you know, you do that match. And whoever wins it, obviously they win. And whoever loses is over because they took the other person to their limit. That was not the intention of what happened at Super Showdown. And, you know, reportedly, Ricochet hasn't re-signed.
I mean, would you? Like, no. At this point?
I mean, you know, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but his contract reportedly expires this month. If it expires, there's no 90-day non-compete.
And, you know, maybe he's just been keeping quiet and just keeping like, because, you know, the report last year was that he was, you know, considering leaving once his contract expired. And he did that classic thing where he went out and be like, oh, the dirt sheets are reporting that I'm leaving WWE. Clearly, they need to get better sources. That's not the case. You know, kind of like how Brian Cage said that he hadn't signed with AEW, even though he had signed with AEW, but the dirt sheets were wrong.
It's a shoot work. It's a work shoot.
Exactly. Keith Lee did the same thing. I'm not signed with WWE. I'm not signed with them at all. I have.
FH. Another solid card. Great matches. Although eventually, I'd like the big guys to get a few major wins, such as Archer and Cage. By the way, thanks for the entertainment, guys. Started watching WrestleTalk in 2020 and has become a regular fixture for me. Jam that jam. Thank you, FH.
Thank you very much. That's very, very kind of you. Yeah, I mean, but they are getting wins, really. Like, they showed Brian Cage's win-loss record is 14-1. You know, and that's been, you know, just less than a year that he's been here. So he's now just 14-2. So, yeah, he's had quite a lot of, but I guess what they mean is like winning titles.
Yeah. Or like a big blood feud. Like I do take FH's point. Yeah. Archer and Brian, a lot of their victories or big wins on Dynamite, at least, often come in the form of tags or squashes. It would be nice to see, and their big feuds have so far culminated in titles, which they haven't won. So it would be nice to see. Yeah, I agree with FH, essentially.
No, totally. They're always that, like the hardest to book, really, because you need to make them look super strong. Like Lance Archer, I feel like, is a really difficult character to book because, yeah, he comes in and he murders people, but you can't put the title on him because it's not the right time to put the title on him. He's like, well, now what do I do? Just murders people. Well, surely he should get a title shot then. Yeah, but he's not ready for the title, so just murder more people, I guess. Feud with Pac.
Throw a guy into the ceiling. Turn him face. Sam Wall on Jericho and the Inner Circle. When the Inner Circle came out, their nameplate says Chris Jericho and MJF with the Inner Circle. Nice. Mm-hmm. I also love the Sammy Hager joke from Jericho. All around a good episode, but the waiting room segment was very overwhelming, they've written. I think they mean underwhelming by the way they've written it. Sammy Hager. I didn't get this.
Yeah, he's a singer from, who was Sammy Hager with? It's from a hair metal band. Sammy Hagar, it was.
I've never heard of them.
Was he in Van
Halen? The Red Rocker, an American singer-songwriter.
Yeah, I can't remember. Van Halen, I was right. He was in Van Halen.
Oh, yeah, I recognize him.
Yeah. Yeah, I know from I Can't Drive 55 because it's in Back to the Future Part 2. Mm-hmm. But it's that hair metal music that I'm not a massive fan of. But yeah, that's what he was referencing.
Jake Zimmers, come on. I couldn't have been the only one to laugh at Team Sammy Hagar, right? Right? God, all those years of my dad having me listen to classic rock radio instead of modern pop radio finally makes all the sense. That modern pop.
Exactly. I think bands like Van Halen ended up being dad rock. You know, when we were sort of growing up in the 90s, they just released those albums like the greatest dad rock albums ever. And that's where bands like that would be, Deep Purple, all that sort of stuff.
The WAP debate sort of triggered an existential crisis in me to the extent where I'm now trying to listen to more current day pop music. And I know this isn't a really new song, but Billie Eilish is okay. I think she's pretty good.
Yeah. I think she's all right, you know, like it's not for me. Like I wouldn't sit there and I wouldn't listen to it, but I do appreciate what she does. And I'm like, yeah, no, I think it totally works. It's good.
I think it's very catchy. And I really like, if my lady partner asks me to do something, I'll say, no, I'm not going to do that. And she'll say, why? And I say, because I'm a bad guy. And I do a little twerk.
So there you go, folks. Ollie Davis, always on the current trends, talking about Billie Eilish's Bad Guy, which I think was released 3 years ago.
Hey. Right, so this episode of Dynamite kicked off with Eddie Kingston versus Pac. And this was also a big blood feud, months in the making. You know, from Pac's return, the thing that changed the wrestling landscape. Just had to wait a couple more weeks, everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tony Khan teased that, remember. And yeah, I loved this match. Like, it felt like a proper, angry, bad blood feud. And I love Kingston the more and more I watch.
Yeah, dude, this match was amazing. I loved the video package beforehand. I also, did you see the AEW Awards thing that they announced? So they're doing basically, I feel like it's not their version of the Slammies, but they have got, like, I think it's with Bleacher Reports, but they're doing like these AEW Awards things. And one of them is like microfine, like the best promo, essentially, right? One of them is Cody accepting the dog collar match, and one of them is Brandy versus Jade Cargill. Like, those two are listed as like the best promos of the year. Eddie Kingston is not on that list whatsoever. Like, the Kingston mock stuff isn't on there. Kingston's debut promo, like, neither of those are featured on there. But like, this Brandy Jade Cargill one that I don't remember is on the list. And it was watching this match. It doesn't mean anything because it's just, you know, it's like a slammy. It's like a WWE Hall of Fame induction. It doesn't actually matter. It doesn't mean anything. But watching this match made me really angry that Eddie Kingston was not featured on that list, because he's great. And this match is right. Like, he's so, so cool, man. And Pac's great too.
Yeah, if it was a legit list, it would just be Kingston, 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 Mox, mm-hmm. Kingston, Kingston. Yeah. A little bit of Don Callis. But yeah, this was really good. Kingston, did this happen to you? Even though Kingston is such a bastard, and I say that knowing that Pac is the bastard. And, you know, the family, the Bunny, the Blade, and the Butcher were sort of interfering at ringside. I still felt for Eddie.
Oh, I mean, that's an incredible match. I didn't feel for him because I am just like, no, he is definitely the baddie in all of this. And I want to see Pac kick his ass.
But, you know, like, that feud with Mox has added such a tragic layer to Kingston's character. Yeah. I can't shake it. Like, Kingston to me is the guy I grew up with and just had a really crappy hand dealt to him since then. And but I still love the guy, but he just self-destructs every time. Steve, you know I'm talking about you. Pull it together, man. I just get that sense.
The line from that Moxley promo, when he says, I'm going to win that title from you and I'm going to show it to my grandmother and tell her this is why she doesn't have grandkids. Like, that line still sticks with me every Kingston match I watch. Cause it's like, yeah, this, and like the, it wasn't, you know, a promo that he did, but when he did the locker room speech on the Brody show, like after that Brody show, I mean, Jesus Christ, it breaks your heart. Kingston loves this. Like, this is, it's real to him. And I think maybe that's why, like, when you were watching this match, you sort of felt a little bit bad for Eddie because, yeah, I sort of want to see him win sometimes because I'm like, just give the man a break.
But overall, this is really good. I mean, back to King, what a signing. Probably the best signing of the year. It's like getting, and I'm no football expert, is it a Bosman free transfer?
That you now that you've, I don't think I've heard those words since playing Champ Manager 2, 97-98 edition, or maybe even 96-97, where, yeah, maybe that's where I last heard that phrase being used. Yeah.
It's like you picked up a freebie, a grade A talent just there, and you sign him up and he's amazing. But yeah, the match was great. Pack one with a black arrow, and then after the bell, locked in the brutalizer. So he still is like, you know, he's a tweener. He's a bad guy.
What?
And then Lance Archer came.
Someone said in the comments, this is very much how do you do, fellow kids?
Hey, fellow children. But after that, it seemed like we were going to get a family death triangle brawl, but Lance Archer came out to chase him off, and a stare down between Lance and Pack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, they were saying because they've had this sort of uneasy alliance because Archer hates Kingston just as much as Pack does. So they've had this sort of uneasy alliance, but now that Pack has beaten Kingston, that alliance is essentially over, and now he can turn his attention. Sorry, I had lunch very quickly before I came on this podcast. Now that he's finished with Kingston, he can now beat up Pack and beat him up, get him out of the way, so they can go beat up Kingston again.
Yeah, I think that's a number one contenders feud. I think whoever wins Pack and Archer probably going to go for the title next, and I think it's probably Pack.
Well, they did say on commentary that Pack is one of the few people in AEW who has got a pinfall over Kenny Omega because they had him in the Iron Man match.
You know, yeah, coming up to a year.
Not many people who have had a pinfall victory over Kenny. So yeah, like that instead puts him in that sort of firing line for a potential number one contendership.
Yeah, I reckon Beach Break or Revolution for that. After that, we got like another sort of big payoff of a month-long storyline, kind of forced because they waited so long that one of the main guys got injured. Trent's out for like 5 to 6 months with a pectoral tear. Really bad. But silver lining to this, Chucky Taylor might be able to show those brilliant comedic chops that he has. I feel like he's one of the most underutilized people in AEW, along with like Santana and Ortiz. And maybe Colt Cabana as well, I would put as, you know, the people who have been better elsewhere in my head, who were just waiting for that chance here. He took on Miro, the stipulation being if he loses, he has to become Miro's butler. They said young boy last week, but I don't think that term is as well known as butler. And yeah, it was a Chucky start off strong, really good, but Miro entered squash mode and sort of just destroyed him in a couple of minutes when he switched that on with these big clubbing blows, a couple of suplexes, and the game over.
This is the sort of performance from Miro where you're like, yes, this is what we wanted to see from Miro. Like, I think he had a bit of a rocky start in AEW because people weren't really into the best man gimmick and the partnership with Kip Sabian. And then, like, his first match, it looked like he sort of injured himself because he wasn't kind of moving the way he usually does. But I think the last few like stuff we've seen from Miro in ring, like even just, you know, outside attacks and stuff, he's starting to feel like the Miro that we wanted to see and we got a bit desperate to see. I thought it was a great performance by him. And I think there's a lot to be, you know, I think there could be a lot of great stuff that can come out of the Kentucky Gentleman as the Kentucky Butler with Miro and Kip Sabian. I just hope that it actually does become something because they've got 30 days to do this. I'm hoping we get something out of this because, I mean, I'm looking at my watch. We still haven't had that bachelor party with, like, you know, Billy Mitchell and that. So I'm hoping that something does come of this. I feel like because Orange Cassidy is involved, something is going to happen.
Yeah. It's weird, isn't it? For a, like, if things are dropped all the time in another company that we watch and we don't complain about it because that's just what happens. But when a tiny thing doesn't happen right away, we're like, hey, W, what the hell?
Yeah, because like the wedding's in a couple of weeks. Like, we still haven't had this bachelor party.
So after that, we got Dasha speaking to Matt Hardy and Private Party backstage. This was just a way to talk about the contracts the Private Party signed to make Matt Hardy their agent. They didn't read the fine print. It gives him 50% of third-party earnings. So it's a...
Yeah, and 30% of their regular earnings as well.
So it's like a jab at WWE's contract statuses. I think me, like 4 years ago, I'd be lapping this up like, oh, it was a shoot. But now, I don't know, it just isn't grabbing me. I find I'm actually like, nah, you don't have to do the WWE jabs.
I think it's because like they've all done it. Mm. Like if this had been the first time that they'd made reference to the Twitch stuff, then it probably would have had an impact. But like when they made the Twitch ban, the WWE Twitch ban, like Miro and Kip Sabian were making jokes about it. And then I think there was another group of lads that were making jokes about it. So like the jokes have been done. And yeah, it's just like, yeah, cool. I've heard this routine before. But and I know there's a few people I've seen have been quite down on Matt Hardy now just being a heel, just apropos of nothing, is just a heel now. And you know, I'm glad to see the Private Party are getting something to do, and they're in action next week with Matt Hardy. So you know, something good could come of this. But I didn't really like this much.
Hmm. Something I did like though was the Inner Circle New Year's resolutions. They all came out to stand in the ring together for the first time in 2021. They look awesome. 7 of them in a row. They look genuinely badass. And because there's so many of them, it seems for the next couple of months, they're only going to fight each other. They all outlined what their resolutions are. Hager debuted his new catchphrase. He just steps forward and goes, championships, yeah!
MJF wants to strengthen the bonds that he's formed within this group and get rid of fat people. And
Ortiz, what do you think about this? Because, you know, like, fat shaming, not very popular these days. Quite mean-spirited.
It's MJF!
Exactly.
He's a heel. MJF, I mean, you can't get mad at MJF fat shaming him when he was shouting at Brody's son on like his dad's tribute show. Like, do you know what I mean? Like that is like that's a heel move, right? Like shout at a kid who's grieving because his dad just died. And like, so you can do this big shoot angle thing at the end and then be like, also get rid of fat people. You can't then have a pop at MJF, but like, don't go after the fat kids though.
I'm not saying I love it. It's kind of cathartic to see a heel be so genuinely heelish. Good.
Oh, dude, yeah, I had no problem with it whatsoever. Ortiz has a recipe, his grandmother's recipe, that he wants to perfect. And Jericho reveals that he and MJF are going to go after the tag team titles. And I started to write in my notes, that's weird, because he said that him and Hager were going to go after the tag team titles not that long ago. And then who should pop up but Sammy Guevara, who said, guys, you said we used to be a tag team. You said you were going to be a tag team with Hager. Now you're a tag team with MJF. And he's absolutely right. And then, but my favorite thing is, what are you going to do? Team with Snoop Dogg next? And Jericho just goes, maybe.
But in like it wasn't like an aggressive way. It was like a bashful girl.
if the opportunity arises, yeah, maybe.
I loved it. I was doing the exact same thing. I was writing down, it's a bit weird with the Hager stuff. And then they called it out right away. And then it was just, it was really funny. Just classic in a circle. Funny, goofy, but actually feels it's so character driven, everything. And it sets up like everything makes perfect sense within this honor based heel faction that they now have. Jericho says next week it'll be a three-way to decide who is the official tag team of the Inner Circle.
Yeah, so it's Sammy Hager, and Jake Hager versus Santana and Ortiz versus Jericho and MJF. Now, I want it to be Santana and Ortiz that win, because they're the best, right? Like, they're the best. But it's going to be Jericho and MJF that win, because that makes the most sense. But I do want it to be Santana and Ortiz, because I'm sick of them not being like the best team in AEW, like, because they're so good.
Mm-hmm. I know what you mean, but realistically, I'm more into MJF and Jericho winning, which they probably will, because it's that, you know, that what a storyline. How will they coexist?
And I think they'll pin Sammy. Like, I think that's, they will pin Sammy next week, because again, that makes the most logical storyline sense. But yeah, as I said, like my heart, like my head knows it's going to be Jericho and MJF, but my heart wants it to be LAX.
Yeah. After that, we got a Dark Order promo backstage. They're full on baby faces now, as they should be. Evil Uno says they're going to be better to honor the legacy of Brody Lee. And next week, Hangman Page is going to tag with them in a three-man, so another trios thing that's happening. And after that, he'll unveil whether he's going to join the Dark Order.
And then the Dark Order, so he then leaves, he walks out of shot, and the Dark Order starts celebrating, like saying, he's going to join our group. Yay, he's going to join a group, and starts celebrating. And then the camera just slightly pans, and Adam Page is still standing there.
Yeah. Just having a whiskey at the bar.
Just watching them. Whiskey at a bar.
I love it. I think it's really sweet. What they're doing with the Dark Order now, and with the women's match later on, it's just so genuinely lovely. Mm-hmm. I'm so into them as friends.
Yeah.
another iteration of the Dark Order. Unbelievable. But I love this story, and I want Hangman Page to join. There's so much promise in all the different various feuds and storylines that are going on right now. We got a really good video package recapping Darby and Taz and Brian Cage for later on. Then we got, I mean, there were so many good things on the show, but this sort of reveal was a tour de force of fake out booking. So
hands in the air if you got worked by this segment.
I think even the Bucks did.
And Tony Khan, he was sad about it, going like, don't know, man. But like, I totally got worked by this. Absolutely. Because they announced that, you know, the Elite are in action. They're going to be in six-man action next week. But it was only a picture of Kenny Omega and Don Callis. And I thought to myself, what a brilliant piece of character work by Kenny Omega there. Not even putting the Young Bucks on the image. Like, it's just him and Callis. Like, they're the most important thing, right? What a brilliant bit of character work for them. And then when he announced that he's tagging with his best friends in the world, the Good Brothers, I was like, what? I totally did not see this coming. And I'm an idiot, because probably I really should have done, but I totally got worked by this.
The best reveals are the ones that were always there right in front of your face. Like, you go back, Don Callis, tag team champions he's introducing. He says we're having the separate entrances. The best friends in the world, like you said. And then Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows enter through the crowd, which is, you know, that's their in-ring AEW debut. That's huge in and of itself. The Quizzlemania tag team champions, no less.
And I think that's why I didn't expect them to be in this match. I thought it was going to be Kenny and the Bucks, because I was like, well, I mean, they're going to make a big deal, aren't they, that the Good Brothers are having their AEW debut. No, they just did it. And I totally got worked by this. And Callis is talking about how the band is back together. Swerve, it's the Good Brothers. And this match that they had with the Varsity Blondes and Danny Limelight was not the squash match I was expecting it to be. Like, Varsity Blondes got quite a bit in this, and Danny Limelight, like, Kenny, like, it felt like Kenny was going out of his way to make Danny Limelight look amazing. And he succeeded in doing so. I thought this made the Varsity Blondes and Danny look really, really great, even though they'd lost from the Magic Killer. And I also love the fact that they didn't play the Good Brothers music. There was just an empty bit of silence afterwards, and then they play Kenny Omega's music, as if the production team going like, yeah, well, what music do we play? We'll just play Kenny's music. There's a lot of details in this I just really, really enjoyed.
Yeah, and it was great to see Gallows and Anderson wrestle in AEW. Like, that was so cool.
I know.
I think when all is said and done on Kenny's reign, which will hopefully be years from now.
Oh, yeah, forever.
But when he was IWGP champion, it was like he was having these great matches with very great people, you know, people already of a level. But something that's like he's making younger guys look so good. And I think his legacy of this title reign, I can already see it happening, is how many younger stars he can build up over the course of his championship run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I completely agree. I loved this. I really, really enjoyed this. What was, you know, essentially a glorified squash match. I bloody loved it. Thought it was really, really fun.
Just before we get onto the post-match angle, who do you think's behind this? Because the Cage Side Seats review I read of this was like, that they thought it was all Don Callis pulling the strings. Like, that Kenny was almost blameless in this. But I think it's Kenny, because the Bucks didn't get into the van with him.
It's Kenny and Callis working together. Like, they're both the puppet masters in all of this. Like, Kenny knew the Young Bucks, that he wasn't tagging with Young Bucks. He knew he was tagging with the Good Brothers.
Mm.
Like him and Callis are doing this. And I saw this in your review, and I completely agree. It's because the Bucks didn't get, like, he said to them, you either get in now or when this isn't happening. And they didn't get in. And now you're in the situation where he's like making them kind of join their fold, and the Bucks are reluctantly doing it. And in this post-match thing, the Bucks came out to like, you know, stop Mox from attacking Omega, but they weren't doing it to like protect Omega or anything. They got out to brawl. They were just trying to stop the madness. But the Lucha Brothers super kick them because they sort of like, they are being involved in all of this. I love it. Absolutely love it. But yeah, like you said, this is all, it's Kenny and it's Callis.
It's what else would you expect from a sort of Kenny Omega storyline, an elite storyline? It is, you think it's going to be one thing, which is pretty complex and sophisticated anyway, and they've thought of 4, 5, 6 other layers to add intrigue to it. So interesting. And yeah, this pull apart brawl, the Lucha Bros super kick the Young Bucks in the chaos. So there were SCU were down there all of a sudden, not a tag teams, not a potential trios groups. I think that's what this is building towards. So you can tell that story of the Bucks and Kenny over an even longer period of time, because there's so much to dive into there. Matt Jackson's reluctance last week to do the two sweet, what Kenny did to them there. They are feuding. Like, these are not the actions of friends, but the actual violence hasn't bubbled over yet.
And I can see us getting Moxley in the Bucks versus Kenny in the Good Brothers. Whether that's a revolution, whether that is a beach break, but like maybe beach break is too soon to like having the Bucks facing off against Kenny, but there was just something in this, because like Moxley is still gunning after Kenny because he's still gunning for the title, right? So I don't know if you're going to do the rematch at Revolution or whatever, but there's a lot of possibilities. There's a lot of avenues to go down, and I'm excited for pretty much every single avenue that's available.
Yeah, I mean, the one I'm most excited about is Hangman Page, John Silver, and Alex Reynolds beating the Super Elite. We've just had this from I Made Stonehenge, one of the people in the chat. The Bucks came out in new gear that was literally different shades of grey.
No, they didn't. Did they really? I did not spot that. That's incredible.
Perfection. After that, we probably got the weakest thing on the show, although I still very much enjoyed it. It was Britt Baker's waiting room segment. Cody Rhodes was the guest. Britt Baker did a sort of, you know, jokes about Cody having too many feuds and a bad tattoo on his neck. The good kind of shoot jokes.
Yeah, well, the jokes that made me laugh were that the Go Home Big Show, whatever that show is called, has got three celebrity guests and a random Cody Rhodes. Don't know how that happens. And when Cody eventually comes out, she's like, just want to give congratulations to you and Brandy on having a kid. That kid will have an action figure before I will. So I'm joking, of course. But there were like a lot of lines in it. I thought Britt was really great, and Rebel was really funny in it as well. I think the problem with this, the segment was too chaotic, and not in a good way. Like, the chaos of that pull-apart brawl that just happened between Moxley and Omega and the Good Brothers and all that felt like that's the right level of chaotic. Mm. This felt chaotic because they were doing three segments at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. So what happened was Britt introduced Jade Cargill. Jade came out and was like, me and Shaq want to know when my first match is going to be. Red Velvet came out to challenge Jade. Cody has not said a word in any of this. A pull-apart brawl happens, and then, so clunkily done. This was a pre-edited show, filmed last week, I believe.
Yeah, so I think what the intention here is that Britt Baker wanted to put up on the screen her attacking Thunder Rosa, right? Like, because she's there on her phone being like, yeah, play it now, play it now. And that's what it played. But Thunder Rosa had hacked the feed to cut in a promo of her saying that we're going to have a match at Beach Break. Like, sort of on paper it sort of works, but yeah, I felt this was quite clunky.
But that's happening. Britt Baker did some fun. Oh, Tony told me the match wouldn't happen, and then the graphic for the match came up, and that made Baker even more annoyed. So yeah, sloppy production, but everyone involved was perfectly fine. Then we got Jungle Express versus FTR with Jungle Boy's Christmas present from Tony Khan. Sing it with me, but don't, because it's a video call and the sync will be all out. Oh, Jungle Boy Jungle Express as a trio have
Jurassic Express.
God.
I used to do the exact thing. Like when AEW first launched and like they came together as a team, I kept calling them Jungle Express in videos and having to do a retake or like an editor would go back and be like, you did the Jungle Express thing again.
Purse, my cool white boy rap tastes. Damn it. So, Jurassic Express now have that new entrance music. I can't wait for that to be in front of crowds. Mm-hmm. It's everyone's gonna say that's the indie music he used in like PWG and places. So this was for a match. Marco Stunt got lippy last week and challenged FTR and Jungle Boy. So no Luchasaurus out here. Why didn't Luchasaurus come out at ringside anyway if FTR had Tully Blanchard?
For podcast listeners, I am shrugging.
He's doing the shrugging emoji.
To explain how Tully Blanchard could do some interference and have no comeuppance for doing so. Mm. I mean, tactically, bad move on Jurassic Express's part. Like, yeah. probably should have seen this coming.
Definitely. Although the match itself was very well worked. I thought it would be more of a squash, just destroying Marco's stunt. But they used Marco's small size as sort of the advantage, where Jungle Boy could just flip him into Hurricane Ranas and throw him over the top rope, using him as a weapon, pretty much. Dax was particularly good in all of this. But in the end, of course, as they should have done, after some Tully interference, FTR won with the big rig.
Yeah, which is a lovely little tribute to Brody Lee. I get that a lot of people don't like Marco Stunt because, you know, he's 4 foot nothing, is, you know, 150 soaking wet. People just cannot take him seriously as a wrestler and be like, well, it doesn't make any sense that he beats people up. This is the match to show and be like, this is why Marco can be great. And this is if Marco is in a way like structured correctly, this is why those matches are a lot of fun to watch. He's not going to be challenging for the title in a serious manner, but he's a great character to have on TV if you use him in the right way. And I think that they are using him in the right way. And FTR was selling his offense and stuff so beautifully and perfectly. And the way that they treated him in the ring and the way they sort of like walked around him was just absolutely perfect. I loved this match so much more than I knew I was going to enjoy it anyway, because I really like both teams. But yeah, man, this was awesome.
Yeah, it was really good. And then it got even better, like progressively better, because after this, we get Ty Conti versus Serena Deeb. Now, you know, Conti hasn't impressed me that much when I've seen her wrestle before, but, you know, that's because she's very green. She's way at the start of her career. But this match, like, I have to imagine a lot of it was Deeb, but Conti did not like slip up in any regard. She was really, really good. Her pump kicks looked so good. And I think she's quite good at the submission based style anyway, because she is she's a black belt in jujitsu, which is all about the sort of ground grappling. And yeah, they had a baby face versus baby face match, because Dark Order are now full on faces. Anna Jay's at ringside, crucially not cheating. That's the story that's been going on for a couple of months now. Ty doesn't want to cheat, but Anna Jay tries to convince her to cheat in her matches. So at the end, when Ty Conti loses, but valiantly so, and Anna Jay just reaches out her hand and they hold hands through the ropes, I was touched.
Yeah, this match was, I wrote in my notes here, surprisingly great. Mm-hmm. Because I went into this match with not low expectations, because I think, you know, Serena Deeb is a really great talent. But like you say, like Ty Conti is, you know, she is very, very green. And you'd expect her to be green at this stage of her career. That's, look at like Anna Jay, you know, she is year one into her wrestling career at pretty much. But damn, dude, she was great in this match. She was really great. And like you say, I think Serena Deeb did a lot to make her look awesome in this. Thought the submission stuff on the ground was wicked. Her pump kick's great. Like her pump kick's really, really good. I really, really enjoyed this match. And then Deeb hit the detox for the win. But Ty Conti looked amazing coming out of this match. Like really, really good.
Yeah. And you can tell like the commentary team were Like, you could, you know, when JR gets actually into a match that he wasn't expecting, JR was like, this is really good. Restaurant quality.
Yeah, you go.
Oh, yeah, and then it was the main event, which we've already covered. Overall, an amazing episode of Dynamite. I gave it 4 out of 4. I'd probably give it 4 out of 5 if there was an extra ranking, because it just wasn't as good as the last 6 weeks of incredible, all-time great episodes that this company have done. I love, love, love AEW.
You want to talk about a company that is on a hot streak at the moment. Like, I feel like AEW are just on the hottest of hot streaks that they have had, you know, probably since their launch, their debut back in October on TNT. I think they're on a really, really hot streak of shows. And I think you said on the podcast record that we did before this, for the intro and outro, for the audio version, I look forward to Thursday mornings. I look forward to Thursday mornings and waking up. I just know when my alarm goes off, just know I'm like, I can't wait to go and sit and watch AEW for 2 hours. Because I know it's going to be really, really great. Even when it's a not as great episode, it's still a really solid show. And this was one of those episodes where I was like, oh man, this is why I love this company. Absolutely loved this show. Thought it was brilliant.
Well, we're going to get to all of your Omega chats. Get yours in at wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every one of them before the end of the show. But producer, can I please have the debut of the Hall of Fame music? Because we've got our wonderful $25 a month or more pledge hammers from Patreon to honor. Let's see, he's sent a message. Is it? Has it begun? It's playing. The music's playing. You can go over to Patreon and not just get, it's playing already, Luke. You don't have to sing over the top of it. You can go to Patreon, WrestleTalk's Patreon, and donate there, where you can get loads of exclusive content and your own wrestling nickname and a shout out in this very show. Like,
before we do those, can we announce what is going to be that bonus content?
Take it away.
Because recording next week, Ollie and I will be reviewing for WrestleTalk Extra for our $5 and above Patreon pledge hammers, Royal Rumble 2010, with the first of the big Edge returns and a lovely beard. A show I'm really, really looking forward to going back and watch, because I don't think I've seen it since 2010. Like, it's not a Rumble I've gone back and rewatched. So I'm really looking forward to this. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
But thank you to $25 a month or more backers, Tower of London, Nigel Morris.
Excellent.
Don't clap. This is the Hall of Fame.
Oh, sorry, I do apologize. How do you like them apples, Marcel Jura?
Probo Cop.
The Shrock Master, Austin Shrock.
The Real Boss, Matt Robinson.
Michael Jensen Radio.
The Monster Among Patreons, Brian Strowman.
They Drew First Blood, Not Me, Grace Rambo.
Former star athlete, now head coach, Lendell Brensom.
Have a Glass of Sherry, Martel J. Simmons.
Superkick Partey, Andy Buckley.
And for this class of the Hall of Fame Patreon pledge hammer shoutouts, Aram Swain the Rock Johnson. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. Oh, what a class. You love to see it.
Great class.
Let's get into your Omega chats. Get yours into wrestletalk.com/support. Last call for them. Patrick Cooper. I would love to see Eddie Kingston beat Cage for the FTW belt. I feel that would make the title mean a little more. Jam that jam.
I mean, yeah, the FTW belt is, it's a fun little prop at the moment. But yeah, like, you're right, because it's not recognized by the promotion, even though they give them fancy graphics. But yeah, Eddie Kingston, what a wonderful choice for the FTW title.
Black Adam. I still don't get Darby, man. Bryan was whooping his ass for 20 minutes and Darby gets a fluke win. Why am I supposed to care about him as a champion when in every match he gets the personality kicked out of him until he falls into a win?
But that's the thing, Adam. He didn't fluke a win. He smartly locked in a hold and pinned him, which is the hold that started this whole feud. I thought it was a really, really smart finish. I didn't look at this and think like, man, he fluked that win. Like, I never at any thought that Darby didn't look anything other than, you know, he could still win this.
I agree for this match, but in general, I agree with Black Adam in that Darby should just have some straight up wins, you know, where he just wins a normal match.
The biggest issue for me is that he hasn't defended the title since winning it. Like, this is his first title defense. And he's had that belt for quite some time now. Like, you know, when Cody had the belt, he was defending it left, right, and center. I think we could have had that with Darby, like, you know, just to establish him as champion. So, yeah, so to Black Adam's point, I think that him having some wins might have actually helped a little bit.
We've got a lot of Omega chats I've just seen, so let's speed through these. Matthew McFadden: next Wednesday there's a special Brody Jr. birthday match featuring Hangman and the Dark Order. What better feel-good way to have Hangman align himself with the Dark Order if Brody Jr. personally asks Paige to join, and he does so?
I mean, I think Paige is joining next week, right? Like, surely he is.
I can't wait for them to be an act. And that's a beautiful way to do it, Matthew. Trevor Seibert: we all know Hangman needs to take the title off of Omega, but who should take the title from Hangman? My personal vote is Eddie Kingston. No one deserves it more.
I mean, considering how long I want Omega to have the title for, Hangman taking off him is way off in the future. So, like, who knows who's going to get hot, like, you know, in the next 18 months.
Goldberg. Trevor Seibert again: hello, lads. Newest supporter on Patreon. Welcome to the club. Excited to be part of the community. We all know Hangman needs to be the...
That's the same question.
He said the same one twice. Thank you very much for all the money. But yes, Eddie Kingston would be a great shout, but like Luke said, it's too far in the future. Westhead 90: Kenny Hangman for the title. Straight wrestling, so they're fantasy booking here. Straight wrestling for 20 minutes. Paige won't stay down. Irate Kenny snaps and hits trio of V triggers. Paige claws at Kenny to pull himself up, looking at him as if to say, I know my friend is in there. He takes Paige's hands, teasing an embrace. Kenny says, I'm sorry, and hits a vicious standing V trigger. Doesn't go for the cover. Kenny smirks and heads to the apron in position for a buckshot. He floats over and lands into a gut kick from Paige, who sets Kenny up in a one-winged angel. Kenny fights out and hits Paige with his own one-winged angel. Kick out at one. Paige crawls to the ramp apron. Don tells furious Kenny it's okay. He's going to be counted out and the one-winged angel will have beaten him. The count hits seven. Paige kips up. Kenny hears the crowd erupt. Kenny, not being dumb, hears the crowd and turns to face the ramp as Paige hits a running start buckshot, takes Kenny's head off. 1, 2, 3. Hangman, you champ. Sorry this was long. Wanted to try and pop Mr. Davis. Haven't got this head up out of my head for weeks.
And did it pop you?
I thought it was very good. I like a few of the spots. I particularly like the looking up to him and saying, like, you know, my friend's still in there. But the first kick out of a one-winged angel maybe shouldn't be at one.
Second.
But I liked a lot of the other stuff. Ethan Adamson Joseph: I know everyone wants Hangman to dethrone Kenny. I feel like every super chat has started with that so far. I do too, but I would love a Darby Allin or Jungle Boy to dethrone him. With a great build, it would be awesome. Great content as always.
Do you know what I'd like to see? I don't know, maybe I'd like to see this because I just have a very fond memories of it. But do you remember when Jericho beat Triple H for the title in 2000? Like an episode of SmackDown, because Earl Hebner kind of like, he screwed Triple H out of the title. And then the whole episode was about Earl, like, making Earl Hebner give the belt back to him. Doing that with like a Darby or a Jungle Boy would be like that sort of like, oh my God, moment where like, oh my God, Jungle Boy just won the title off him, but then they have to give the title back by the end of the show. But maybe I just got a lot of nostalgic love for that angle.
I do like that idea, but I also think it's the worst idea I've ever heard.
That's exactly what I mean. It's just like, in my head, I'm like, oh, that's brilliant because that thing I love from 20 years ago. But at the same time, no, because I want Omega to be champion forever.
James Hanley. I don't think Paige is joining the Dark Order. He was drinking in the scene and he has a history of self-destructive behavior and pushing others away.
Oh, that'd be so heartbreaking if he doesn't join, though.
A hot tag to you.
Steve Atkin says on the subject of Jurassic Express FTR, excellent show other than the FTR Jurassic Express match. FTR as great as always, but Marco Stunt has go away heat for me. Low blow into a sympathy interference spot makes no sense. I don't get how I'm supposed to root for a character like that.
Yeah, I know what you mean. That is, it's more like he's just, he's not like a full on baby face. Like if it was a white meat, blue eyed baby face, you can't get away with low blows. I feel like Marco can, but look, if you don't like Marco, very little is going to persuade you otherwise. Not everyone's for everyone.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I don't think of him like, I think he is like a pure baby face. He is Marco Stunt.
He's but,
like,
swearing. He's obnoxious.
Yeah, I know. But like, he's also like, he does it because it's the move that he needs to do in order to beat the bigger boys, is to just kick them in the nuts. Like, that's the advice that some...
That's a heel.
And what? Yeah, I know, but like some parents would tell your friend, is like, you know, if a kid comes to you, I'm pretty sure Homer Simpson gives this advice. If a bully's coming up to you, kick him square in the nuts. Like, and that's going to drop them really quickly. And that's what Marco does. He's just like, I'm being bullied by these guys, and they were bullying him in the match, so I'm going to kick you in the dick because you're being a knob. Like, I totally get it. But like you say, if you cannot get on board with Marco, nothing is going to change your mind. In the same way that I think there are people who don't like Orange Cassidy, and there's nothing that Orange Cassidy will do that will change your mind. There's just, if you don't get it from day one, then I don't think you're ever going to get it. And that's fine, because not everything's for everyone. Keith Kutach says, good morning, boys. Can we get a Jungle Boy theme song, Mr. Davis sing-along? Also, I share your immense enthusiasm for Eddie Kingston. I was there when Eddie cut that promo on Cody. It was glorious. His interview with Renee Young is marvelous. Hashtag oral sessions. I haven't heard that episode yet, but I've heard it's very good.
I did a Jungle Boy theme song sing-along in the news and on here, so hope you're satisfied, Keith.
Sam Wall, the waiting room was the waiting room was overwhelming, as there was a lot going on. There was Cody, Jade, the fight with Red Velvet, the Thunder Rosa video randomly start playing, and finally Tarzan Boy starts playing for Jurassic Express to make their entrance. Yeah, I agree. Rini says, hey there, you dapper boys, hope you're doing well. This was the fifth ever Dynamite show I've ever seen, and I'm going to watch it on a weekly basis. Any specifics I should know about? Also, Mr. Davis, hard to kill predictions, so I can copy the prediction king. Have you done your form yet?
You close your eyes and you just tick. Yeah, I have. I won't go through them all, but I picked the Elite to win. I think I picked Sami Callihan to win too, because I love him. Anything you need to know if you're watching on a weekly basis? Yeah, like a fair bit. But AEW are very good, particularly the commentary, educating you as you go. So just keep at it. And yeah, just look on YouTube for any clips that you're unsure about.
Yeah, a really easy tactic is that if there's a big feud going on, presume that Cody is involved. He probably is somehow. Carol Wands is in the chat to say, hi, Luke and Ollie. Sorry I can't watch live down to the job issues. Never apologize for that. Just want to state how fantastic AEW's show was last night. Pay-per-view quality without it being a pay-per-view. Khan really knows what people love about wrestling. Storylines to invest in with payoffs. Jam that jam. Thank you so much, Carol. Alexis Ebdon says, Dynamite was great. However, the thing I'm most invested in is what's happening with the Elite. Was this week because Nick got hurt, or was this the plan all along? Can the Good Brothers compete in AEW long term if they're going to team with Kenny instead?
I think this was the plan all along. And I think, yeah, the Good Brothers and Kenny exist above promotions. They're not AEW. They're not Impact either. So, yes, they can.
Martial Arts. Hey guys, Lord of the Unique Taste in Waldmeister here. Going to get a shout out for my birthday yesterday.
Happy birthday, Marcel.
Would you agree that Layla Hirsch belongs in Team Taz?
Yes, I would. She's got a match next week against Nyla Rose.
Don't think she's winning that. New Punk Rants. Hello, guys. Have you seen the Brody Lee drawing I did? I sent it to your Instagram. If not, how should I send it? His wife loved it, and it might possibly get me some work with AEW. I'd love for you to see it. Oh, that's so cool. Send it to... I'll see if I can
support at wrestletalk.com.
I'm actually open. If you take over the chats, I can get it on Instagram on my phone, and I'll load it into the chat.
The Jam one, Ryan B. Jam. Dark Order would be a great choice for the Blood and Guts match, but now I want Belt Collector Kenny to make enough enemies so that match is Super Elite versus Hangman, Mox, Swan, Nick Aldis, and Kota Ibushi, or maybe a Death Triangle member instead of Mox. That is some over-fantasy booking, I think. Don't set your expectations for that. You'll be disappointed.
That's because that feels a little bit like your Royal Rumble fantasy booking last year.
Hey, that was good. Michael Dominguez. Listen,
Aries, that'll make this win.
Listen here, you AEW bias. All y'all talk about is the Bullet Club reunion. Do you even watch Raw? They have a forceful faction called Retribution. Hashtag marathon, not a sprint. Haha. Dan H. Watching with 20-minute delay. Had a tough last few hours and need some jam that jam time. The show was amazing, and now it's time for some good review because it's Thursday, and you know what that means. Love you guys. Love you too, Dan. Hope everything's okay. We should probably start the reviews with that, shouldn't we? It's Thursday. You know what that means.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah. I did that on the Brody show, but yeah, I think we should definitely do it from now on. You're right.
JR's doing it to open every Dynamite, which I love. James Hanley, me turning to my wife. Why don't you talk about me the way JR talks about picture in picture? Wife, baby, your restaurant quality. Also, it's great to see both of you back. Thank you for being part of my week. Support each other, jam that jam. I love JR's restaurant quality lovins. Keith Kutach. Yeah. Hey again, guys. I can for sure see Miro as a future TNT champion. Dude is absolute aces. Do you think the FTW championship will ever get defended as a serious Dynamite mid-card title? It's Thursday. You know what that means.
I don't think so. I don't think it will do, though. But like, yeah, Miro is a future TNT champion. Absolutely. As an update for New Punk Rants, I cannot see... I don't know when you sent it, and there's a lot of messages. And if you're not there as New Punk Rants, I have no idea. I've also opened a lot of messages, which our social media manager told us not to do.
Send an email to support@wrestletalk.com, and we'll put it up for a future show. Christopher Jazzcat's got one in.
Uh-oh.
Inner Circle stuff has low-key been excellent. One day Sammy is going to be a huge babyface. I really enjoyed the Dark Order stuff. I hope Hangman actually joins and they're all friends and have a lovely time from here on out. It should have been Raven.
And there it is. He's not wrong. It always should have been Raven.
Rangers Mayhem. I figured that it would be the Good Brothers since Nick Jackson thought he might have broke his leg last week. The referee has referenced him being the Elite on Monday. I was waiting for Swan and Motor City to come out to attack them since Hard to Kill is Saturday. Maybe that was... You don't know. So this was taped last Thursday. The COVID stuff seems to have affected everyone over the weekend. So, yeah. Mm. Genetic Ghost. Kenny absolutely has agency, but as Dom was pulling Kenny out, he tried to go back to help the Bucks. I didn't pick up on that. But Don just kept pulling him back. He sold his soul to get that belt. Don knows the Bucks could pull Kenny out of this as his oldest friends.
That's really nice. I didn't pick up on that because I saw, you know, Kenny was going to the back, but it very much just sort of looked like I need to escape now. But yeah, I didn't spot him being like, I need to go back and help them. So that's really nice.
Genetic Ghost again. Just another note, the Bucks gear was camo, just like Mox always wears. So along with it being different shades of grey. I don't know when that's going to happen, but I can feel them teaming up. It will be great to see Mox in a three-man team again. Yeah, I think that's where this might be going. Jazzcat's back again. Christopher Jazzcat. I first saw Eddie Kingston when he feuded with Kevin Steens in the 2010s ROH versus Chikara feud. I'm so happy to see him finally get success and recognition. I would love to see him win the title at some point. I badly wanted him to beat Mox for the title.
I mean, I saw a few people say that, you know, Eddie Kingston's involvement against Jon Moxley was the first time they were invested in the AEW World Championship. So yeah, I think there's a lot of magic in Kingston.
Jazzcat, with all the positivity there.
Mm-hmm. Like just call it. If he's got any more, I think that might be it from Jazzcat.
Patrick Cooper. So when is Cody going to get involved with this Kenny and Bucks storyline? Maybe 6 months down the line?
It depends on if Shaq's involved, because maybe like that's how he does it.
Cody will eventually be in all of the feuds.
I'll take it from you. Matt Leamy, this was sent in on Tuesday. It was sent just after the stream had finished, but we're not going to let that slide. Matt says, Orton isn't blind on next week's Raw. We learn that he has a smaller eye underneath the big eye.
Whew.
I mean, we've discovered WWE.com themselves announced that he has got minor burns from that, so he should be fine for Monday. Charles Berg said, let me be clear. I don't eat Hershey's. I agree it's bad cheap chocolate. Cadbury's is better. But it's like saying a hard turd is better than diarrhea. They're both crap. Don't lecture me on taste. Britain conquered the world for spice, yet your food is bland. We invented the chicken tikka masala. Thank you very much. Don't tell us. The British Indian curry is a staple. Like, that is a flavorsome food.
We also invented solid chocolate to consume. I went to the Chocolate Museum not too long ago in York and learned about that. That is a great museum. Mm-hmm. Everyone should go.
And have you seen cider factories? Have you seen where we brew beer? Ooh, we know a thing or two about taste. The Zornis, Carol and I, an American and a German, were trying to figure out English dialects. Can you help us out? What accents do you or Adam, Carol can't work that one out, but she has to work and cannot hyperchat, have? Have wonderful days, boys. I mean, I have a non-specific accent because I used to have a Scouse accent because of my family being from Liverpool, but I had it bullied out of me when I was a child, so I learned not to speak with one, and now I just have this non-regional dialect.
I say we all speak with, you know, yeah, non-regional dialects mostly, but we do sometimes betray in certain words, like water. Water is the correct way. I say water. And gels. Gels.
Mm. What, you said with like an E.
Gels. Gonna see the gels. It's sort of that Kent mixed with Essex and East End of London.
I get that because I don't say beetroot, like some posh people say. It's beetroot.
Beetroot. Yeah, beetroot. Computer.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. So it's a computer, yeah. So anyway, so that's my answer. Yeah, there's a Charles Berg again. I'm not sure if this will be read first or second, but I want you both to know that I am deeply offended. You would assume I eat garbage like Hershey's. I still think highly of you two. Unlike British food, you both have spice and certainly not... you are both full of spice, certainly not bland. I mean, yeah, it is garbage. I stand by Cadbury's. I think Cadbury's is pretty great, actually.
Well, you know, Cadbury's at the end of the day is owned by a multi-conglomerate. They don't give a crap about chocolate anymore. Oh. The best chocolate is like Hotel Chocolat, Montezuma, Chocolonely. That's where the adult chocolate's at.
People who actually sort of care. Like, Cadbury's don't care about chocolate as a... They just care that it makes them money. Like, they're
it's
not like...
milk.
Exactly. They're not proper chocolatiers. Green Club. Corporate Pete is winning the jamble. I'm calling it now.
Well, jamble. It's genuinely totally random. Can't wait. We discussed and worked out how it's going to happen.
Oh my God. Oh. It's going to be so fun. If you thought that the Survivor Jam stream was chaotic, just you wait. Because we've come up with an idea that could be the messiest live stream that anyone will ever try.
Yeah.
It will either work or be terrible. Harrison Earl says, Ollie, you should listen to The Big Moon and Haim if you want some good pop music. Oh, Haim, I really enjoy it. I think they're very
nice. Haim, yeah. The Three Sisters. Fleetwood Mac, effectively, I think they sound like. Give me a reference I know.
I need to go back. Did you listen to the Buxton podcast with Joe Cornish?
No, I haven't yet. I haven't.
Oh, it's really good.
It was really good. Tom Cruise story update.
Oh, I mean, conclusion.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. They have Adam Buxton writes a song with this this girl trio. I can't remember their name. I was a while ago back and re-listen to it. But it is a song about Joe Cornish, but it's to the tune of One More Sleep Till Christmas from Muppet's Christmas Carol. Good. Marad Rajan says, hi Luke and Ollie, thanks for showing my cameo video at the Brody Lee tribute video. Just wanted to stop by and say hello. Thank you so much, Ollie. Thank you for butchering my name. Glad Mr. Lee called you a piece of s-word, JK. Luke got my name right. Yes. New Punk Rants has donated.
Thank you so much, Murad. How do I say it?
I said Murad Rajan.
Murad. So honestly, you know, it's a tough time. I had a dream about Brody Lee this week.
Oh, did you? Oh, do tell.
We wrestled each other in a match. I've got a recurring dream, more of a nightmare, where I'm in a wrestling ring, expected to do an amazing match, and I don't know how to wrestle. And then I have to wrestle someone and it goes awfully. But yeah, Brody Lee was the person I was wrestling this week. honestly, that was a tough week, I think, for everyone. And it was so cool that you had that made. So thank you very much. I treasure that video. Yeah. Thank you.
It was quite lovely seeing your genuine reaction to watching that for the first time.
Mm.
Yeah, it was really, really nice. Sorry if I felt like I was distracted there. I was actually just getting the image that New Punk Rants had done. We did feature it, I found out, in our Instagram stories.
Ooh.
So, here it comes. There it is.
Oh, that is cool. In the Dark Order logo. Yeah, nice work.
Yeah. Very, very nice. Thank you very much for sending that across. Felcat, is Billie Eilish's Bad Guy an entrance music? Who would you give it to? Razor Ramon.
Someone's coming at it. I'm trying to think now. I'm trying to play it through in my head. Because it's kind of...
I would say you want to give it to someone, a British talent, because who's on the British independent scene, because that's how it's going to get over.
Yeah.
So entrance music get over if they're on the British independent wrestling scene, because the British independent wrestling crowds bloody love an entrance song and they love singing along to it.
Yeah, and we've got more than just syllable chants. Na 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 na. No, we sing Spandau Ballet to our wrestlers. I can't. You got me here, Felcat. I'm trying to think of one. But you're right. I want it to be like an indie wrestler. Mm. Who's a bad guy?
I mean, you don't want to give it to like Rampage or something like that, do you? Like, you don't want to give it to him. He is a bad guy, but like, yeah, he's not that kind of bad guy.
It's Mr. Davis's entrance music now. That's what it is.
And lastly, Christopher Jazzcat, I'm trying not to be too negative because of my mental health. Well done, you Jazzcat, very much supportive. And we are just ribbing, mate. Yeah. We're only teasing. Last week, you guys said you'd get back to me with your Wrestle Kingdom thoughts. Have you seen it yet? What was your favorite match? Mine was Jay White versus Kota Ibushi.
Still haven't seen it all because it's long. Yeah, I think you're probably right. White versus Ibushi was the best match, but Cobb versus Takagi, is that mm-hmm. it?
I still haven't seen it.
That's my favorite.
It was on my week off, and I decided to switch off from all wrestling while I had my week off, so I haven't actually seen anything. So I still need to catch up on it, which will probably take me all year long. That's the end of the chats.
I thought I did, before you start, can I request another email segment?
Mm-hmm.
I want if you think your pub is older than Luke, but we haven't checked. We haven't checked the age of the pub. I haven't
it
checked.
It probably is. It's the 17th century. That's all I can tell you. It's been here since the 17th. That's old, man. That's quite old.
I think England's got old pubs. Wat Tyler Inn. I've found the name of my pub, the Wat Tyler Inn in Dartford High Street. Early 15th century, it says here.
Oh, man, now, that's well older than my pub.
What I want people to do is email it. Do not check. I just want you to argue your point blindly. You know, the way arguments used to be before the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you just want people to email in. Actually, do you know what I would like? Just email in about your pub. That's what I want to hear about. Tell us about your pub.
Missing a lot.
Really. I was going to say as well, I did hear you and Pete do a little shoot interview on me while I was away, because you said that I don't make any efforts for segues in the show itself. You just go like, that's enough of that chat. Here's the podcast.
Yeah.
Was that better? Did I do better this time around?
That was okay. I mean, I didn't notice it. Like the mark of a good referee, isn't it? You don't notice they're there.
Bryce Remsburg. We don't notice you're there. Stop trying to make yourself part of the story. Anyway, have you got League of Lockdown open?
Yes, I do.
I very much enjoyed you explaining to Pete what League of Lockdown is, because it's for us, it seems like a normal thing, right? And like the people who listen to this show, it seems like a really normal thing. But then you explain it to an outside perspective where he's like, oh no, we're ranking how people's COVID experiences have been.
Yeah, I think if you were with the evolution of the segment week after week, it doesn't feel as abhorrent as it would be unloaded to you in one contextual lump.
So this one comes in from Noah Fortner. Is he on the list currently?
I can't see a Noah. No, he is not. Noah Fortner.
Anyway, he says, hello, lads. My name is Noah. I'll keep it brief. I got COVID in May and recovered. My grandmother got COVID but didn't. I couldn't get a new job due to COVID. Couldn't move out of my parents due to COVID. I had to pick up door dashing due to COVID and money. It's door dashing.
I think it's when you run around and you knock on someone's door and run away before they can answer it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Knock, leg it is what we called.
Oh, we called it knockdown ginger. I don't know why.
Yeah, it was knock ginger rather than knockdown ginger or knock leg it. I have no idea. But yeah, door dashing. But he says he's doing it for money. So let's have a look.
Maybe it's just transporting things from door to door as opposed to from business to door.
It's a deliverer right. And driver. So, okay, that's that. Back to the email.
Could have done with him for the championship.
I got my new job. Well, now you keep retaining it. There's going to be no worries for that. I got my new job. I'm on schedule to move out in February. My girlfriend of 2 years went into the Navy. My girlfriend of 2 years then broke up with me. 2 weeks after getting out of boot camp, I've reconnected with my best friend due to COVID. I started work on my mental health in lockdown, which was way overdue, and therapy has helped me get a lot out of this year, as well as you lads making me smile each and every week. Thanks for all you do. That's from Noah. P.S. Wrestle Talk was my top podcast of 2020, clocking in 1.5 weeks of listening time.
Well, that's remarkable. Obviously, those ones are the best achievements, the ones that elevate our overall plays and downloads. We did this YouTube consulting thing recently, and they used a word which was such a lovely way to say you're going to get loads of crap, right? And they said,
yeah,
it's going to be turbulent. I was like, oh, I like that, because you get through turbulence, otherwise it's a crash. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. But, you know, we usually, when we talk about, like, we call it backlash, and that makes it, doesn't make it sound like a cool pay-per-view anymore. It just makes it sound like people aren't going to like it. But you're right, calling it turbulence, because, like, well, turbulence, I can get through. That's absolutely fine.
It's like that idea that words are actually magic spells. So we've just found a new spell. This situation is no longer backlash. Oh, it's turbulence. Just traveling through a bumpy bit.
There'll be a little bit of turbulence. The lights will come on and tell you to remain in your seat. So if you need to go to the loo, that might be a bit of an issue and you won't be able to get a drink. But broadly, it'll be fine.
Stay strapped in, close your eyes. The big expensive consulting firm are going to see you through this turbulence. But that was a long way of saying, sounds like you've had some turbulence during that lockdown. But great with the better mental health. Great with the reconnecting with best friend, moving out, new job, listen to loads of podcasts, making my notes. I would say, I mean, the new benchmark to get into the upper two-thirds of the table is to win 2 flat-screen TVs in a competition. That is insane.
That's a big ask as well.
Yeah, it's crammed at the top now. So this person became a Patreon. This person got a new job, which so did you. So, oh no, but Harry joined a band he likes, adopted a bunny.
The bunny's got a good name as well.
Yeah, Miss Bunny Penny, that's Kate. Someone had a baby. Oh God, it's you're in the bottom 10 now. I would put you. Okay, I'm going to put you above Abraham. who listened to 22,471 minutes of the Wrestle Talk podcast, and I've put in brackets next to that, alleged. So that puts you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7th from the bottom. But like I said, very competitive.
It's been a very competitive lockdown. Mm. It's been a very competitive pandemic. You know, it's what we've all said, really. I was going to tell you a story about the lad that came around to like fix some things, because I'd point to things and be like, that's wrong. And he'd be like, that's not anymore. But anyway, he was a proper bloke. He'd be like, we've done that bit. I've lost where we are. I've just seen loads of messages from Rich about music. No one's complaining about the music on the podcast version, so that's a thumbs up.
Oh, that's fine. Don't worry. That I think these messages are about adding more. for my Patreon shout outs.
That's all we've got time for on this edition of the Wrestle Talk podcast. We'll be back tomorrow with a very, very special edition of the magazine show, which I'm very much looking forward to. And then Pete and Randy will be here on Saturday to do the SmackDown review. Take care, everyone. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.